Galatians chapter 3. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Galatians chapter 3. And again, thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come. This is such an honor to be here and a big responsibility to be in this man of God's pulpit. And I certainly have not come to hurt. I've come to help. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now, I circle the word who. He did not say what. It was a personality. It is always a personality. Always a personality. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the what? Truth. All right? So you have a conflict here between a personality and truth. All of us like to be liked and all of us like to be loved. And so because of that, if we're not careful, peer pressure is put on us to kind of back off a little bit in order to keep that relationship when our relationship with God gives us true relationships here on earth. And he said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now with that in mind, go to chapter 5 and verse 7. In chapter 5 verse 7, he said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Said you were doing great. What's the next word? Who? Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Again, you have a conflict between personality and truth, between a person and truth. If you're not careful, you will allow what truth to be perverted or corrupted because of people and because of passion and because of personality. You can't afford that because you're not going to stand before your mama in heaven. You're going to stand before God. You're not going to stand before your daddy in heaven. You're going to stand before God. And so I want to talk to you about the lines of defense, and we'll kind of go through a little role play here, and I think you'll see what we're talking about. Father, help me now in the next few moments to be a blessing and help it to make this clear so that we can be of help. Thank you for the dear people who've come. What a great church. I don't think these people even realize how great this church is and what a wonderful man of God they have. God, help me this morning to help to put one more brick of truth in that wall of life. Talk to us now, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's important that you get the understanding here. Here's the Apostle Paul. He rimmed the Mediterranean three times. He led people to Christ. He baptized them and then organized churches. That's what he did. And they had a pastor, and then he would go on his way. Well, he heard that the church of Galatia had gone back into works. They had gone back not to salvation by grace, but they had deviated from the truth. Now, he identifies when he writes to them, he says, O foolish Galatian, who? He, on purpose, said who? Some personality, someone got to them. We often think that peer pressure is the kind of a thing that happens only when you're a teenager. But it's always going to be the rest of your life. Because everybody likes to be liked and everybody likes to be loved. Oh, that preacher got up there and said, bless God, I don't care what you think. He cares what you think. He has a heart and he wants to be loved. Now, because of that, there's a tendency then, if we're not careful, to be influenced by personalities. And you see somebody dressed a certain way, you say, man, I think that would look good on me. But you weigh 300 pounds and she weighs 120. Boy, it's going to be tough this morning out there. But we tend to follow fashions and people, and if we're not careful, it's a herd mentality that will destroy us when it should not be so. It ought to be the truth that leads us. He said, who hath bewitched you? What happened when you followed this who? Then what you find yourself bewitched and you didn't obey the truth. Now in chapter 5, verse 7, he said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that she'd not obey the truth? It was a personality. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Now, who did he say? Through the Lord. He said, it's only through the Lord that you'll not be otherwise minded. Verse 10. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He said, this guy that is bewitching you and getting you off track, God said, I'll take care of him. Now, the problem is I don't want to be in the same car with him when God gets him, you see. And verse 12, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. So you can see in the book of Galatians this conflict between personality and truth. Who hath bewitched you? If you're not careful, here's what you'll say after you pull a stunt. I knew better. You know what I said? I knew better. Pastor, you know, you call them, well, what happened? Da, 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 da. And then they'll drop their head and say, Pastor, I knew better. I knew why I did. I don't know. It was persuasion of personality that caused it. See, and now that doesn't mean you're going to be mean and hard-headed and hateful. Look, I can joke with anybody, have a good time with anybody, but I've ridden on planes with evangelical leaders of evangelicalism who criticize the Word of God and got all these new versions and everything else. And I joke with them, laugh with them, but I'm not. He's not preaching for me, and I'm not preaching for him. See, that doesn't mean you can be mean. It just means that you're set. You're stubborn. Stubborn. Bullheaded. Ain't going nowhere. This is the Word of God, and this is where I'm going to be. So I need your help. Can I use your son? Come on up here. Bring your Bible, if you would. Son, don't ever go anywhere without your Bible. Okay? Oh, it's an NIV. Go put it back. No, come on up here. All right, stand right here. I need a little devil. Is there a little devil? Oh, come on up here, son. Come on up here. I need a little devil here. All right. Right up here, son. Yeah, bring that NIV. There you go. All right. Stand right here. All right. Here's a little devil. Devil, you don't have a Bible. And stand right here and face me, okay? All right. Now face that way. All right. Now, I'm going to show you this line of defense. See, Satan wants to destroy me. He wants to get to me and wreck my family and wreck my grandchildren and wreck my marriage and wreck my life. He wants God, but I cannot let him get to me. All right? Now, in the book of Galatians, he gives us an answer. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 30, there's the first line of defense, and that is this. He said to them, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? He said, you've got this personality trying to draw you, but it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, what says, hold the Bible up, way up high, way up high, way up high. So I have the Word of God. As long as I, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture, I'm going to be fine. What's the Bible say? See, I may not be as articulate as someone else in debating me, but it doesn't matter. You may believe in abortion, and you may out-debate me, but all I've got to say is don't shed innocent blood. That's all. All I got to know is just what the Scripture says. Hold it up. Okay, you're okay? All right, okay, good. Face that way. Don't look at me. You're kind of scary, really. But wait a minute now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? For example, if the fetus is just an it, then Jesus did not exist for 9 months. It doesn't take much logic and look at Scripture in order to be able to shut down a bunch of these anti-Bible people. But what's the first, nevertheless, what says the Scripture? He says to the folks in Galatians, you'd have never gotten yourself in trouble if you'd have known your Bible, if you'd have known the Scripture. I don't care what you say about capital punishment. What's the Bible say? I don't care what you say about fornication. What's the Bible say? Don't care what you say about adultery. What's the Bible say? Don't care what you say. Do you understand what? It's what's the Bible say? Our problem is that we're ignorant of the Word of God, or we allow somebody to put a question mark on the Word of God so we don't trust it. And because of that, then we can't. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? The in the English is a definite article, which means there's only one word. There's only one God, there's only one Savior, there's only one Holy Spirit, and there's only one Bible. Now, you need to understand that this is what keeps, see that little devil over there? He wants to get to me and wreck my life. But I come to the Bible, and I'm doing fine, because the Word of God, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture. All right, now take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. There's a second line of defense here, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, verse 17, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. All right, can I use you, my brother? Come on up here if you would. All right, we'll let you come on up here if you would. Stand right behind him. I'm going to let you represent the Holy Spirit. So we've got a line of defense here that he tells the folks at Galatia. Now, Satan wants to get to me. The first line of defense is, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Talk to me. The what? Scripture. The what? Scripture. So the first line of defense is the Scripture. Now, the second line of working, the Holy Spirit then works with the Bible and teaches us the Word of God. So we're strengthened now. We've got two layers here of strength to keep me from Satan getting to me. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaching me the Word of God. Now I'm learning the Bible. Do you understand? He's teaching me. He's the author. He's teaching me the Word of God. And so I say, what does that mean? And I say, Holy Spirit, please help me. And then I rightly divide the Word of God. It does not say rightly divide concordances. It does not say rightly divide the Greek lexicon. Those are written by men. It does not say rightly divide a dictionary. It just says simply, rightly divide the Word of God. Are you okay, son? Are you all right? Okay. You look like a good, healthy man. So nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? So the first line of defense is the what?
Scripture.
Scripture. Talk to me. It's the what?
Scripture.
If you don't talk to me, you're going to children's church. You understand that? Okay. First line of defense is the what?
Scripture. Scripture.
Second line of defense is
Holy
the
Spirit.
Holy Spirit. All right, you got it? So we're working together here. Now, let's suppose now that he quits reading the Bible. Start tapping on the shoulder here and just keep tapping. Just keep tapping. Then what happens? Oh, man. The Holy Spirit convicts, you know. And we say, man, why has the preacher got to talk about that? I mean, come on, man. Okay, I missed a couple weeks of tithing. Get off that, boy. Move on, you know. And what's happening here is the Holy Spirit... Are you okay? Oh, you like it. But the Holy Spirit then bothers you and convicts you. You got it? Okay. Now, I wonder what the answer is to all of this conviction. I wonder what you could do to get him to stop doing that. There you go. Now we're working together. Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
Now we're working together. All right, well, I'm reading the Bible. Now, instead of convicting me to read the Bible, bothering me about not reading the Bible, Holy Spirit's teaching me now. Now we're working together. So I've got two layers of strength against trying to keep Satan from getting to me. And that's what he was telling the church at Galatia. Nevertheless, what saith the?
Scripture.
Talk to me. Nevertheless, saith what the?
Scripture.
Scripture. And then the?
Holy Spirit.
All right, now take your Bibles, if you would please, and go to chapter 6, in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Verse 7. Be not deceived. Say that with me. Be not deceived. All right? So there's another line of defense. I'm looking for somebody to help me here. Can you help me? Can you help me, sir, if you don't mind? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope I'm not picking on somebody here that
you got the deacon and his kid.
Oh, I got the deacon and his kid. What is this guy?
Young married kid.
Young married. Okay, we got the young married, we got the kid, we got the dummy. Okay. Now, I'm okay. Now, watch this carefully. Nevertheless, what saith the
Scripture?
I have now the Holy Spirit working with me, right? Teaching me the Bible. All right. If I quit, then he convicts me. So then I say, well, I can't do this. So the Holy Spirit's working with me. All right, now there's a third line of defense. And write this down. It's your conscience. Whether you are saved or lost, God placed in you a conscience.
Yes, he did.
God put it there. That is the morality of a culture. Comes from the conscience. Every culture has its laws. There's a basic thing about man that God put in there of right and wrong. Now, it may be defined differently in different cultures, but the truth is there's something there that somebody, this is wrong and this is right. That's the conscience of God. Now, can you deceive that conscience? The Bible says you can. The Bible says that you can deceive yourself. So what have I got? I've got a line of defense here. I got the Word of God. I got the Holy Spirit teaching me, and my conscience is clear. I'm not deceived. I am now three steps away from Satan getting to me. Now, he is answering the people at Galatia, and he's telling them how they got themselves in trouble. They got themselves in trouble because they quit reading the Bible. They got themselves in trouble because they disobeyed the Holy Spirit and then went past their conscience. There's something about the body that God has created for example, before my dad got right with God, he'd lie in bed at night, and we lived in Michigan when I was a kid, and we didn't have central air or central heat. We had a coal furnace is what we had all the windows open, but he'd lay in bed and he'd smoke in the middle of the night, and it's pitch black, and you could see him light up like that, and you see the light like that. My bedroom's down here, there's down there, and you could see him light up, and you could see him draw it, and the thing get real bright, and then he'd go like this. And then he would go, and he would start coughing. And he had a can next to the bed where he spit into the can. And then I was a kid. As a kid, I would lay there and I'd go, oh, man, what are you doing that for? You know, I didn't say it out loud because I wanted to live. But what are you doing that? And then, you know what he'd do? He'd put it right back in his mouth and he would draw again and go through the same thing again. But what would his body do? His body would cause him to cough. And the body was reached. Okay, I fly everywhere. I've got 6 million miles with American Airlines, and I get an opportunity to upgrade because of so many miles. They give me free upgrades, so I fly up front there many times. I don't fly in the back with the white trash, and so up front there, and so. I'm sitting there, and they come by, and they offer these. And this guy over here, he says, "I'd like a Bloody Mary." A Bloody Mary. I said, man, I didn't know she was wounded. joking, you know. So they say, do you have a wounded Susie? You know, and she laughed. But watch them. They'll take a little bitty bottle like that, and they'll put it on the rocks. Now, to me, rocks are dirty, but it turned out to be ice. And they put it in there, and watch this. This is exactly this. Look at me, and this is exactly what they do. They go. Boy, that's good. Well, if it's so good, why are you making all those faces? It's something, isn't it? It's something God created. Remember the first cigarette you sucked on? What do you turn? You look like the NBC peacock. Why? That body was rejecting, and God did it that way. Okay, hold the Bible up. Hold the Bible. So, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Help. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture. Okay, let's see. He quits reading the Bible. Then guess what? Now the Holy Spirit starts convicting. All right, write this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Now that means then that you have the ability to quench the Spirit of God. You have the ability to do so. Now we have two answers here. One is, read the Bible. That's an answer. All right, put it back down. Conviction comes. But there's a second way out, and that is to shut him off. So you say, tell him to quit. Oh, I'm scared. Okay, so the Holy Spirit quits. You can quench the Spirit of God. So now once I go past the Bible, I shut the Holy Spirit out. The only thing I've got left is my conscience between me and Satan getting to me. Come on, somebody say amen to me. That's why I don't want my... Have you seen the lives of people who have been wrecked by the devil? I don't want that. The church at Galatia got themselves in serious trouble because, all right, first line of defense is the what?
Scripture.
Second line of defense is the Holy Spirit. Third line of defense is the conscience. Wow. Isn't that something? Okay, let's suppose I quit reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit starts convicting me. I got two answers, don't I? Two options here, all right? One option is to, well, I like that. Let's suppose I quit reading the Bible. And let's suppose I'm just not going to do right. All right, tell them to quit. So the Holy Spirit, he's scary, folks. And so the Holy Spirit, then what happens now? I am now one step closer to Satan getting to me. All right, now take your Bibles and go with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. My shoe's untied. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1, the first three verses of that, first three words of that verse say what? Say it again. What? Now I say, all right, Pastor, can I use you? If you don't mind, can I use you, please, Pastor? I promise I'll be good. I promise. If you'll stand in the back line right back behind them, if you would. Now, here's look what he said. Now I say, go to verse 11. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. Verse 13, I preach the gospel to you. Verse 14, and my temptation, which is my flesh. Verse 15, I bear your record. Verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Verse 18, I am present with you. Verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again. Verse 20, I desire to be present with you now to change my voice. And I stand in doubt of you. Verse 21, tell me. And on we could go. What's he saying? He's saying, okay, I've got this line of defense to keep my life from being wrecked. First is the what?
Scriptures.
Second is the what?
Holy Spirit.
Third is the what?
Conscience.
Fourth is the what?
My preacher.
That's exactly what he's saying.
That's right.
Not making this up. That's what it says. When the preacher says, would you come in and see me? I need to see you. Did you come in and see me after church Sunday night? We need to talk. We need to have a don't look. Who's he talking? No, I'm not. We need to see each other for a minute. What's happened? You've gone past the scripture. You've gone past the Holy Spirit. You've gone past. You said, I just don't see anything wrong with it. Look, you know, I just don't see anything wrong with it. Ooh, and then what happens? The last hope you have. I was on WL Radio, 50,000 watt radio station. In fact, I was on four of those stations at one time, on the Texas Revival Hour. And I had a lady who wrote me a letter, and she said, Dear Dr. Gray, she said, I listened to your broadcast last night, and she said, you used the letter I 54 times in your broadcast. She wrote this long letter, 6 pages. And she said, she summed it all up by saying, I want you to know that the letter I is in the middle of the word sin, and signed her name. I took the letter, went to my Xerox machine, and Xeroxed it after I had circled every time she used the letter I in her letter. She used it 67 times. So I said, if you'll notice in your letter, you use the letter I 67 times. And I must remind you that the letter I is in the middle of the word sin. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world I've ever heard of. That's like my son, Scott, little Scotty. He's grown now and a man, got his own family. But little skinny Scotty coming to me at night. Hey, Dad, Dad, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I walk over and I go, what is it, son? He said, I want you to know you are just a man. That's all you are. And for one, I'm sick and tired of following just a man. And from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus. Do you know what I'm going to say? Son, would you go to your bedroom, please, for a minute? Well, we'd like to have a little powwow. I'm going to do the powing, and you're going to do the wowing. And it's going to be stars and stripes forever. Amen. Now, that's ridiculous. You see, here, you never said that. Well, the preacher's just a man. You never said that when you agreed with him. You only said that when you disagreed with him. Now, if he gets up and says a virgin birth is not true, fire him. Come on, help me now. If he commits adultery, fire him. Well, you won't have to. His wife will kill him. Now, here, understand, first line of defense is the what? Scriptures. Second line of defense is the what? Holy Spirit. Third line of defense is the what? Conscience. Fourth line of defense is the preacher. Okay, now watch this now. Wow, he's reading the Bible. This is great. Holy Spirit's teaching me the Bible. This is great. My conscience is clear. Yeah, I called a kid in one time, and this kid was doing so good. I mean, he was doing great in school, just great in school. And I got convicted a little bit, Pastor, because I spent all my time with the kids who were causing trouble. And I thought, well, I'm going to call this guy in and just brag on him. Because, I said, this is wrong. I spent all my time with these other kids and the good kids, I'm not. So I called this kid in. I sat down. And I was going to start bragging on him. And he starts crying. And I said, son, are you okay? He said, how did you find out? I said, excuse me? He said, how did you find out so soon? And I said, well, son, we have ways. We have ways. And he just started confessing everything. Been going on the last 3 weeks. I didn't know who was doing it. But I did then. What was that? He'd quit reading his Bible and he'd quit listening to the Holy Spirit. His conscience wouldn't even bother him. But boy, when he faced the man of God, he just broke. Because he thank God for that. Now, please understand, boy, when the Word of God, first line is the what? Scripture. Second line is the what?
Holy Spirit.
Talk to me. Second line is the what?
Holy Spirit.
Third line is the what?
Conscience.
Fourth is the what?
Preacher.
Now, look at this. When you're reading your Bible, Holy Spirit's teaching you, your conscience is clear, and the preacher says, I'm so proud of you. God bless you. You're doing great, man. Doing great. Now you've got four lines here to keep that little devil. See that little devil down there? Keep that little devil from getting to you and wrecking your life. And this is exactly what he said to the folks at Galatia. Now, how are you doing with the scriptures? God talking to you? Did you get anything out of the Bible this morning? I'm just asking. Well, I don't have to. I go to Sunday school. I don't read my Bible on Sunday. Oh boy. And then Is the Holy Spirit pointing anything out to you? How's your conscience? Okay, I'm lying in bed, Pastor. My wife and I are lying in bed. It's the middle of the night. And I hear, beep, beep, beep. I sit up, what in the world? How do I sleep? I hear, beep, beep. And my wife wakes me up. She said, did you hear that? I said, yeah, honey, go check on that. I got out of bed. I'm walking. I'm hearing this beeping. And I walked upstairs. You know what it was? A smoke alarm. Yeah, the battery was getting weak. And it was trying to tell me you need to change the battery. And that's what it was. See, some of your conscience is like this. Beep, beep, beep. You're watching things on television now you'd have never watched a year ago. Right. Or 5 years ago. Right. I'm not mad at you yet. I'm just telling you, you understand what I'm saying? That's why it's very, this is, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I read the Bible, I want to do something. When I read the Bible, I want to win souls. When I read the Bible, I want to run a bus route. When I read the Bible, I want to teach Sunday school. When I read the Bible, I want to do something. I got to do something. And then the Holy Spirit strengthens me to where I can do it, and my conscience is clear on what I'm doing. It's right. It's not wrong. And the preacher said, yeah, I'll give you a Sunday school class. Sure, everything's working well. But once I quit this, Holy Spirit, and then I get tired of that. Quit. So he quits. And then my conscience, I said, look, my conscience is clear. Yeah, but the Bible talks about a good conscience, not a clear conscience. You're just a man. That's all you are. And the next thing I know, why, he don't look so harmless. This can't be so bad. I mean, because he doesn't look. I don't think this will hurt too much. Oh, yeah? The Bible says when we see the devil, we get to heaven. And we, after the great white throne judgment, we see him. The Bible says we'll look at him narrowly. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says we're going to look and go, that was him? That's the thing that caused all of this trouble. And I was so stupid. I listened to that. It's exactly what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep reading the Bible.
Yes, sir.
I am. Because this... with this and this and this going to keep me from that little rascal down there. All right, give him a hand. Didn't they do a good job? Thank you. Thank you, fellas. Thank you so much. Pastor, it's all yours.
Amen.